The Navy were finding that the Wasp was too small. The Army hadn't got an aircraft they could take into the battlefield and put a reasonable number of troops in a sort of patrol unit to do anything. So they wanted an aircraft capable of carrying about 10 people. And they wanted an aircraft that could cover all the radios and all the clever things that they wanted to help them do the job. And the Navy links and the Army links offered a more or less identical solution to look at, which was slightly different. Because the Navy links, its main job, was attacking fast patrol boats on the surface of the water. Even that came about in a sudden swoop. The Egyptians took out an Israeli destroyer with fast patrol boats. And it was unheard of that a small nation with little or no resources could operate one of these patrol boats and get close in enough to sink a capital warship. And they did. And it really set them on their heels. And that changed the whole requirement for the Lynx a long way. And it got into service quite rapidly. I mean, we started working on it in 1967. It flew in 1971 and was in service by 1979. I personally have no doubt we could do that now. It was a fascinating project to get involved in because it was doing it from scratch. It was going to be a great helicopter. It had a terrific enhancement of its deck landing capability. It had this rigid rotor which made it incredibly manoeuvrable. You know, we developed the airframe in 3 years, 4 years. You know, it was a very adaptable aircraft. And we sold it as an anti-submarine dunking sonar aircraft, as a troop transport. It was quite capable of civil operation, but it would have been a bit expensive. It had a thing called a rigid rotor. Now, helicopter rotors have hinges. The blades can flap up and down, they can lag forward and back, and they can feather. And with these hinges, the control power was much lower. Once you made it with bending moments, so the rotor just bent at the root to give it the control movement, you could get quite a lot of control power into it. You could make the aircraft incredibly manoeuvrable. And it was so rigid in lag and flap. And it just, the only hinge in the whole thing was a feathering hinge to make the blades come up at an angle. And with that configuration, it was incredibly sharp. I mean, the Navy have got, and the RAF have got various requirements. Navy have got the small ship requirement. It needs the anti-surface vessel requirement with it. It's got the commando carrying job, which means operating from a forward airbase somewhere that you fixed up, and just using the one aircraft to go and look at something. The Army needed an aircraft for the battlefield, and they wanted an anti-tank capability. The Navy wanted a troop transport for the Marines, the Royal Marines, I should say. The RAF wanted something similar. So the helicopter's usability was getting more and more search and rescue. And that brings up a sore point, because search and rescue is now almost entirely civil. And I've always believed that search and rescue was very much a military exercise. If only because it's one of the few things in peacetime where you take a serving officer and you put him in a situation of making life and death decisions. And that's what military is all about.